This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. And I agree. Doesn't have Met on the text line. Said, you know, after we talked to staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams at the beginning of the hour, scholarship program at the University of South Alabama in meteorology. He said, just feels wrong to call Dr. Bill the staff meteorologist. Yeah. He says, maybe the Grand Czar Supreme Meteorologist or his Weather Excellency. Yeah, you know what? I like those. I mean, 40-plus years, a guy that started the meteorology program at the University of South Alabama, and look what it's done now. Look at the students coming out of there. Look at Coastal Weather Research Center, everything that's happened. So many great things to talk about with South Alabama, and Doc's been doing it for decades and decades. So, a tip of the hat, and I agree with you. All right, as I mentioned, joining us right now, it's his name's already come up, I don't know, 7 or 8 times on today's show, let alone before. State Senator Greg Allbritton joining us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
There's a lot to go through. I just remember last time you and I talked, and I've referenced that it was back in mid-session, and you talked about what had come out of the Senate in this in the gambling bill. And you, but even at that point, you weren't cheerleading. You said, well, let's just wait and see, right? You said, let's wait and see what happens with this. Well, who would have known that on my side, so many things would have happened before y'all had another vote last week where you, a person who carried the bill the first time in the Senate, were a no vote on what had come out of this conference committee.
Yep, that's right. After not only carrying here, but carrying bills, getting them through the Senate 2 or 3 other times too.
The bill that, what came out of the Senate, that you carried, that bill that came out of the Senate, in, maybe in percentages, or I don't know how to say it, with what came out of conference committee, are they 50% similar, 75% similar? What is there a kind of something for us to get our hands around this?
I don't know if I can put a percentage on it. As far as what the Senate, the differences between the Senate version and the House version was almost night and day.
Mm-hmm.
The conference report was an attempt to try to pull those two far ends back together that would obtain the necessary votes. I wouldn't say it got any closer because it took different divergence from the others that were problematic and certainly was troublesome for me.
Those, if you had to talking about those divergent things that were most troublesome to you, what parts of the bill is it in the number of places for gambling? Is it where the revenue goes to? Is it what parts? Like, help us understand it.
I'll do my best. Keep in mind, this is a complicated issue. It's something that we've argued about and dealt with many, many times. It's almost like it's a cut and paste. We've talked about everything. You just, you know, swap phrases back and forth. But frankly, and from my analysis here, from what knocked me into the other court, if you will,
okay,
was basically 3 major items. The first was that we left sports gaming completely out of this. Sports gaming, dealing with all the matters that go on that's prevalent and continues to grow in our society, and certainly in Alabama. And we just left it out. We chose not to control it. We chose not to deal with it. We just ignored it, and it will become a Wild West as it is now, only it will continue unabated completely. That's a problem for me.
Okay, so the sports gaming, you're saying that because it wasn't included, it will be continue to be done illegally, or?
Yeah, okay, it'll continue to be done. We're not going to stop it. We're not going to be able to stop it.
All right, just making
sure. And it'll continue illegally, and it'll grow. And if we choose to do anything with it later, that means we've got to go back and do a completely new CA, meaning opening up this whole package that we got again and dealing with it again.
Gotcha.
That's something I do not want to do.
Okay, so that's number 1. Number 2 here.
Online gaming. By that, I mean anything that's online that can be done either in the home. Right now, you pull up your phone, you can play the slots. In Greene County, right now, online live, on your phone, on your computer. You can do that with other facilities, wherever they are. in the U.S. or anywhere in the world. You get the proper app, and you can do it without any controls, without any knowledge of anything other than the people that's taking your money. And Alabama just closes their eyes to that and lets it go. That will also continue to grow. Not only will those continue to plague our society, but we don't gain anything from it. We have the ills, but we don't have the resources to deal with it. Those two items were extremely troublesome.
Can on the online thing, people using, I guess, VPNs or something like that to get around if they're not there in Greene County, could they? But they could also play them elsewhere, right? I mean, they could play them some other state that has them, or is it just
Sure.
So you're saying the people are going to do this. So it's really an idea, if I'm taking this correctly, your no vote is, hey, y'all aren't addressing all parts of this. Is it that there's stuff that's left out of this bill that you think should be in?
That is correct. We're leaving. My whole aspect of this is not that I'm a gambler, want to be, never have been. Or I've tried it a couple of times, didn't pan out, okay? But the point is that Alabama needs to take control of this industry. That's our obligation and responsibility. And to do this half-meal, piecemeal, cannot be done. And I think this is an illustration of it. We've got to grab this whole thing. And until we do, it's going to continue to plague us without any benefits.
You know, Senator, on the, and I was talking about this last hour, on the way I understand this, and correct me, but the electronic where they said, well, you know, it's not going to be table games, but there's these electronic versions of table games. What's the dang difference? I mean, if we're going to do it, then to me, maybe the difference you could argue is the jobs that were promised may not come with it. It could be a gambling kiosk. You go in and put your card in and play. I mean, why is that a part that comes out of it? It says, well, we'll do it, but there won't be any live dealers or anything.
Exactly. I did not agree with that. I think that is we're putting it out there. We're going to do the whole thing, if you will. But remember, those that were authorizing were they were going to be online, but they were going to be in the brick and mortar. They were on site. Okay, those same things are available online.
Yeah. So why would you go
right now?
Yeah. So why would you go to the place to play?
Precisely. And so anyway, it makes, and we just chose to ignore that in the legislation.
You know, the people will ask it already. I'm going to get to some of the text questions here, but one that I'll ask is the value or lack in value to the Porch Panda Creek Indians. You were quoted in a Alabama Daily News story saying that had this new deal coming out here had nothing to offer PCI. Explain that for people to understand why the Porch Panda Creek Indians would enter into a compact with the state, where their benefit is.
Sure. Let me go back. I've talked about two items, the sports gaming and the online. Now, the third reason that I voted for this that pushed me over is my constituents. Yes. And that is, in every previous version that we've had in gaming, there has always been the statement and the attempt to enter into a compact with PCI, the state of Alabama with PCI. That does two things. Number one is it gives the state the ability to receive revenue from those gaming activities at the three reservation sites.
Which they do not now, right? They do not have that now. So that's a benefit to the state that it does not have. Okay.
Exactly. The other thing is this would provide PCI the opportunity to play, if you will, in this industry as an equal player. In essence, previously, there was an offer or a discussion of offer, a fourth site, someplace off reservation property that would be taxed, set up, required, state regulated, not federal regulated, and that would be completely under the rule and guidance of the state of Alabama and subject to the same taxation as everybody else.
Would that taxation also then, you know, who knows what the compact would look like, but just general idea here. If a compact was agreed to, you would have the taxation from the facility, the fourth facility you're talking about, to be built. Would the state then be able to get revenue from the three present facilities?
Correct. Well, they would. That's what the compact would do. They would receive a portion from each of the three on on reservation lands, facilities, and full taxation on that on state land.
So with coming from PCI's perspective, this deal as it sits right now doesn't incentivize that because it doesn't have that fourth location, right?
Well, that's one thing. That is correct. But it does, goes further than that in the conference report that came out. And that is, not only did it not offer a fourth facility, a fourth site, but there's language in the bill that would prevent the governor, when she goes to enter into a compact, if she chooses to, could not put that on the table, could not allow PCI to be anywhere except on reservation property, and would prevent the PCI from ever expanding out to anything along that line. It just put them in a major significant box. It didn't give PCI the opportunity, or the state of Alabama the opportunity, to negotiate and for valid consideration to move in that direction to get into a compact. It just shut the door there.
It seems to me in the past in these debates, it has been this balance of what PCI would get and what the legacy dog track, for lack of a better term, folks would get. And it was this, okay, you get this, we get this, you get this, we get this. In your description here, legacy dog track seems to be getting what they want. PCI is not getting, I guess, anything.
Well, that may be an overstatement, but that's an accurate perception, yes. However, comma, it's more importantly about what the state gets. That's the concern here, too, what the state can do. In the package that I passed, in the package the House passed, we were looking at the state of benefiting somewhere between $750, $850 million, all told, okay, mm-hmm. assuming everything went into play. In the current package that's there, we would have the lottery, which would produce maybe $200 million a year, and then the taxation on the other seven facilities, which has limited accessibility. So we're talking, we're going down from the, let's say, $800 million down to maybe $400 million, but maybe a little less in that way.
So, from my, not inside the Senate view of this, I've argued many times that what is being offered here, it's not specifically saying that if you're against it, you're against opening gambling in the state of some sort. But my view is this the best deal we can get? Now, people will say, okay, but y'all are never going to get around to it in Montgomery, right? Your thoughts on that if you don't pass it now, you're never getting it done.
Well, I would rather pass no bill than a limited bill that would could cause more harm than good. Because gambling, as I mentioned, the sports and the online is not going to go away. Not at all. And if we open these up, we're going to have all forms of gambling, and everybody's going to want to do the same thing. We will not have the resources for full enforcement with this plan either. We won't have the means to go statewide to shut everything down. So we'll have a situation more and expansive game than ever in Alabama without the means to enforce it and without Alabama receiving any benefit from it.
Yeah, that has been what you're saying, talking about. There's been one of my frustrations, though. I know that there's only so many resources, but it is interesting to me that the discussion is like, hey, we need to get this passed so we can crack down on people breaking the law. I'm just a silly stick in the mud, said either way, let's crack down on people. Either the law is the law or it's not, right?
Let me give you an example. Okay. I'll really get my butt in trouble on this one, okay? So I know that going in. A couple of years ago, the State House folks decided that the rent-a-cops were not providing adequate security. They wanted to go and use Aaliyah, okay?
Okay.
That's fine. We said fine. But Aaliyah says, we're going to have more responsibility. We're going to charge you more. So Aaliyah sends us a few cops over during session in particular to watch a few doors. Not the full building, only a few places, okay? Limited.
Okay.
They're charging us, and they're walking across the street to do that, okay? And they're charging us almost $700,000 to $1 million every year to do that. Now, if we're going to use ALEA to enforce this gambling issue all over the state, and we have who knows how many illegals out there, not counting the digitized and everything else, if we're going to try to do that, how much is that going to cost? It's going to cost a lot more than the $300 to $400 million we're getting all told out of this package.
So you think we could end up losing money on this if you pass the bill as it's, or the what the conference committee came out with, and then you want to do enforcement on top of that?
I think that is my concern, certainly, that we wind up paying money to expand the game and, rather than gaining money.
If you're just joining us, talking to Senator Albritton, was a no vote on what came out of the conference committee after he had been the person who carried the bill and has before in the Senate, but this thing doesn't look the same. I want to ask a couple questions from the text line, Senator. This one from Adam said, is there anything that would keep a legislator from voting for the CA, so that, you know, the in the House 151, and not voting for specific gambling legislation like 152 in the House? Is there anything that would keep a representative or a senator from voting yes and no?
Yes. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. And that is that we have tied them both together in the language of the bills. If one fails, the other one fails. If we vote for both of them and the CA fails at the polls, then both go away.
But the CA can't pass on its own if the supporting legislation doesn't pass.
Correct. Correct.
Fred says, Senator Albritton's correct. We're just letting more and more money go to other states. Mississippi's laughing all the way to the bank. Set a gaming commission and sell licenses and allow all forms of gaming, including a lottery. Is that going to happen? You catching your breath? There's an answer.
We need to have a comprehensive plan that will work financially, that can be enforced, and can be regulated. We presented three or four plans to the legislature to accomplish that. None of them have been accepted to date. This idea of let's pass a clean lottery and get a compact. Let's just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two problems with that. If you do a compact, again, what good's a compact going to do PCI on the three sites that they've got? Not a lot, okay? Right. Not a lot. The second thing is, what in the world, I'm on radio, what in the world can does a clean lottery look like? It is the largest extension and expansion of gaming we could have. It puts gaming, legal gaming, supposedly, at every crossroads,
mm-hmm.
at every hamlet, right down the street from you. That is the biggest expansion. And the amount that we gain from it, from the lottery in Alabama at this point in time, is going to be significantly less than everybody thinks it is.
Another question coming in here from Todd in Grand Bay said, if they pass the bill, can't they go back and add amendments to it later?
No. When you said pass the bill, you're talking about the CA, assuming.
Yeah, probably 151.
If you change the CA, you're going to open the whole ball of wax up every time you try to change it.
Now, you mentioned the expansion with lottery, let's say clean lottery, and it has it everywhere. I'm not, personally, I don't fear it going everywhere, because I think the market eventually, will, there's only so many gambling establishments that can, support themselves. You see it in other states, they build one too many, it shuts down, and then we arrive at the amount that it's supposed to be. But it seems like we're not even going to let it meet that headroom with these bills, right? It's limited to the 7 or 8. You would never even let the market decide how many places it could go.
Correct.
So you are so really with what you're seeing now, you're not changing your vote. That's what it sounds like.
No, I can't change the vote until we change the bill.
No matter how many people they got calling you, you and other senators out there, and how much they're putting on social media about y'all.
I see it all. Facebook, email, phone calls, text. Yeah, I get it. I understand. Some of them even coming from other states and other places, okay? I understand all that. But I got to make the call. I got to make the vote, and that's where I am.
There you go. Senator, I appreciate your time today, and we'll be talking to you here, what, three more legislative days, and we'll see if the governor decides to call a special.
Well, let me suggest this. You still there?
I'm here.
The governor's not going to call a special until unless we have a bill that she's approved and seen, and we come to her with a hard vote count that it'll pass.
See, there's some wisdom from Montgomery. Senator, I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes, Senator Albritton, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.